59.
Let the record show that Dr. Cornwell gave him a break.
Yes.
Back in session at 10:13.
Okay, thank you very much for your patience waiting for us. All right. Let's consider case number 18-47, Sarah Gonzalez, physical therapist assistant. Is Sarah? Oh, you are here. Good. Let's take this opportunity right here from the start. Otherwise, they'll just tell me to do it. We're going to have swear everybody in.
Yes, but you have a script. You probably should follow.
What's right here in my left hand?
There it is.
Just wanted to know if you know.
No, I don't. Okay. All right. Let's have the board members introduce themselves.
Joshua Bear, I'm a public member of the board.
Kelly King, professional member.
Peggy Hunter, professional member. Kara Bustillo, professional member.
Mark Cornwell, professional member.
Michael Clinton, public member.
Assistant Attorney General John Talier.
Karen Donahue, executive director.
Monica Crowley, licensing administrator.
Veronica Cardoza, administrative services officer.
Cindy Richards, board investigator.
Okay. And introduce yourself.
Sarah Gonzalez, physical therapist assistant.
Okay. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any of the board's statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any or all of the following disciplinary action. 1, issue a decree of censure. 2, place restrictions upon a licensee's practice. 3, issue a civil penalty of not more than $500 per violation. 4, issue other disciplinary action. 5, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of continuing education as specified by the board. If the board finds the violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant disciplinary action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there is no violation of the board's statutes and rules, the board may dismiss the case. If the board finds that the violations warrant suspension or revocation of the license, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. Right? Now we do that, right? Raise your right hand. Right? Do you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Thank you very much. Right? If you'd like, you may make an opening statement, and then I'm assuming that you'd be willing to answer questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really have an opening statement. I appreciate being able to be here to represent myself, and I apologize if I am nervous. I am not a good public speaker in any form, so I'm doing my best.
Does anyone on the board have questions for Ms. Gonzalez?
Do you remember what happened on August 1st?
I do.
Tell us your memory. I heard the interview. I listened to your interview. I listened to the other interviews. I understand your voice. I recognize your voice. We've never met.
Okay.
But could you tell me what happened?
I was scheduled to see the patient and was on my way. I had just been leaving another patient's house. She had called to ask me where I was. I told her I was on my way. She was frustrated and said, well, no, you were scheduled to be here at set time. I apologized for the misunderstanding, and I said very specifically, this is the time that we had scheduled the day before. And when I showed up, the patient was actively trying to get in her car to leave. And so she was kind of avoiding me getting there. So I intervened as much as I could. She wasn't wearing her LSO from what I remember. I did a safe car transfer training with her to just make sure that she was still being adherent to her spinal precautions. She was not the most easy patient for me to ever work with. That's why I'd only seen her such a small amount of times, because I had actually requested my supervising PT to have me reassigned, because we was for the reason she had really large animals and multiple animals in her house, and they would always jump on me, and it was just, it was not a good environment for me to be in. I didn't feel safe. She didn't reciprocate to me asking her to put her animals away prior to me coming, so I tried to do the right thing and have myself reassigned, but she still was on my caseload. I showed up that day, did the car transfer with her, and that was it. And then the next thing I know, I get a call from our director stating that the patient had told my director that I had never showed up at my originally scheduled time.
Do you know what time that was?
I can't recall.
No, about when there?
The late morning, maybe 10.
Have you reviewed any of the other notes from this patient that day?
No, I never was given access to them.
Did you understand that the occupational therapist was there that day?
That's what they said the next day, yeah, when I went.
Do you understand that he says that the patient followed him out when he left?
No.
He told her to do car transfers, and then when he left, he says that the patient followed him out?
I reviewed that in the letter that you guys sent me, but no, I wasn't aware of that prior to receiving this letter.
And do you think he was mistaken?
I don't think he was mistaken on what he said that he provided to her for his treatment, but I know I'm not mistaken with what I also provided to her. I don't know if maybe she had left and come back. I don't know if she had even left, then, you know, why would she call me? And I provided phone records for, you know, every call that she had made to me, and I don't know what her situation was.
Did she say anything to you on that day that you remember?
No, she was just very short. Well, she was usually very short with me in general and wouldn't really make eye contact or really engage a lot with me. So I don't really remember.
Did she tell you where she was going?
Yeah, she was going to a birthday party. I believe it was a birthday party.
I don't have any meals right now.
Okay.
Any other questions?
So, in the investigative report, it states that the patient's signature didn't match previous signatures she provided. Can you respond to that at all?
Yeah, like I said, I don't know what it was that was off-putting about me to her, but because we had to have our tablet signed before we would leave the patient's house, and there are times that she wouldn't even look at me or look at, you know, what I was offering her. She would just pass it off. So
can I sign it like you do when you go to Home Depot?
Yeah. Credit card charge you to Home Depot.
And she did sign it on August 1st.
She had signed it every time that I provided the tablet to her, yes.
Does the tablet keep track of the time that was signed? Or?
It's supposed to. Technology that's, you know, home health was, I was employed with home health for a very short amount of time before I realized that is not the environment I want to work in. There's a lot of variables that kind of leave you defenseless as a clinician.
Dr. Donahue?
Yes.
In the factual allegations, the state's failed to renew the license or certificate. Is that correct?
Doesn't appear to be correct. This is not my investigative case.
Sorry.
But that's okay. Michael's not here, so it's fine to follow. So I was looking at that as well. So I do believe we'll disregard that.
All right.
And come to a conclusion.
This goes on. You said you submitted phone records.
I believe that was Michael, or was it, I'm not sure who it was that I spoke to, but I had even had a screenshot saved from a voicemail that she had left me that I provided to him when I responded to.
Yeah, and I have that.
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking about?
Right.
Were there other phone records? Because that voicemail is from August 7th. Did you submit any phone records from before August 1st?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I tried to look through my sent emails, and there wasn't even anything there that I had sent to you guys.
Would you confirm, and I'm just remembering, so tell me if I'm wrong, your practice was to confirm the visits or try to confirm the visits the night before?
It was our duty, and our job description was set our own appointment times, so when I would get home from doing my treatments, I automatically made sure that I called my patients to schedule prior to 6 p.m. as that was our policy. And yeah, that I called every single one of my patients every night to set an appointment time.
Did you, for the particular patient, did you have a normal time of seeing her, or was it just whenever they were available?
No, it's one of them. No, she wasn't very bad.
And so on July 31st, you would have called the patient, set the appointment. Did you confirm the appointment on your way to the appointment?
No, it was just, you know, you would expect that if you come call to schedule the appointment the night before, that that's the time that you didn't see them.
Okay.
Mr. Greer, in answer to your question about the date stamp, that note on 8-1 was signed at 1:20 p.m.
Okay. Is that consistent with your memory?
I believe so. It's... There's also, you know, variables with, I don't know if you're familiar with Tucson at all. She lives in a very northern, kind of isolated part where reception isn't always the greatest or anything. And even if you hit sync on those tablets sometimes, if the connection is not there, it won't always sync right away.
So, and I guess, to the best of your memory, do you remember seeing her before noon or after noon?
It was before noon. I'm pretty confident it was before noon.
And the note, the explanation for the note being signed after the, whatever the time was, I can't remember already, was that there was some seeking problems.
It had to have been.
Do you remember where you went after that visit?
Not off the top of my head. I'm not sure if she was my last or not. Probably not. I pretty much traveled 200 miles a day, so I'm assuming I went somewhere else.
So is it possible that you went someplace else in the same general? Did you try to set up your appointments so they're the same?
You would try that. And yeah, when you're initially hired, they give you an area that you're only supposed to work in, but it never really works out that way. So that you're expected to see everybody. So that's why I say if I drove 200 miles a day, it's because I'm expected to, even if they're in Catalina and I have to drive back to Green Valley, it doesn't matter. That's my job.
And do you remember if you had any other patients in the same vicinity as this patient that you possibly could have seen that day?
I very well could have, yeah.
Are you remembering the patient?
I'm not remembering anybody specifically.
Okay, so you don't know?
I've been pretty much focused on this patient and this whole situation for the past year.
Okay. It's been... But I'm just trying to figure out why, if you're driving around Tucson, and I understand she may not have good cell service where she lives, but if you're driving around Tucson, why it would take an hour, 20 minutes for that note to update?
I'm not sure.
So, Mr. Greer, the documentation make one states that the session began at 12:37 p.m.
Okay. Does that help? Fresh memory?
I know it was in the late morning, afternoon.
Okay. I think you said it was before noon, but now hearing that day does not inconsistent with your memory.
You were saying that you usually call the night before to confirm, right? And so did you reach her to confirm the appointment for the day before?
I absolutely did.
And you confirm the time, and then it seems like the time was different the day of, right?
From what she remembered, and I, yeah, then I had the same little calendar log that you carry with you, just to, you know, because you write it in at the time that you make the appointment, and even when she had told me, well, I thought you were going to be here at this time, I referred back to my schedule, and there's just no way that I would have
put it.
Yeah.
How long did you typically stay at the facility?
It's not supposed to be less than 30 minutes. So you have 30 minutes to an hour per visit.
Okay. Give us an example of the treatment that you normally would give this patient.
So this patient, I remember she had a lumbar fusion. She was very, very emotionally distraught at almost all of the times I had seen her. She perseverated on pain medication, on her heart rate, on her blood pressure, wanting her vitals assessed constantly and giving me every kind of reason of why she couldn't ever do anything. So a lot of my time was spent with de-escalation, trying to get her to do pursed-lip breathing just to relax and trust the process. And she was difficult. We did a couple environmental adaptations, me trying to, like I had mentioned, she had lots of animals, large animals, cats. You know, I've made recommendations of moving her litter box so it was on top of the counter so she wouldn't be breaking her spinal precautions. It was really limited what she would do with me.
She was driving, correct?
She would, yeah.
So why was she receiving the medal?
I don't know.
Okay. Just wondering.
That was my surprise when I showed up.
All right, thank you, ma'am.
What would happen when you called the patient wanted to cancel?
They would, an appointment they had scheduled the night before?
No, when you call the night before, okay. You say, hey, you're on my schedule for tomorrow, and they say, well, I don't want you to come. What would happen there?
You would move their appointment time to another day.
Okay.
You had the flexibility of your own schedule, like if I were supposed to see you on Monday, but you couldn't see it to a Wednesday. Tell Wednesday I would move you from Monday, Wednesday to Wednesday, Friday.
Is that a big deal for Encompass, or did it happen all the time?
No, you're kind of, you were expected to make the patient's schedule fit your schedule, even if that meant scheduling them on weekends. Then it was your responsibility to see them on the weekend.
Were you frustrated with Encompass? It just sounds like there's some frustration.
I was recruited by Encompass. I worked at Tucson Medical Center, and I worked there and had a really close rapport with a lot of the case managers. So one of the Encompass employees actually recruited me, and I left the job that I love and went to do home health. And I knew immediately that the disconnect between everything was just, it was not conducive to providing appropriate patient care.
So I'm assuming you gave the same, more or less, presentation about the patient, et cetera, the phones and everything to Encompass. Can you kind of state why they terminated you?
I know that I was vocal with my director and my scheduler about my territory.
Mm-hmm.
I live in northern Tucson also, and Green Valley is over an hour away from where my territory was. And then I was being placed on the east side of Tucson, which is also an hour away from each point. And then Catalina, where this patient lived, is even 30 minutes away from my home. And I advocated for myself, and I advocated for the contract that I signed. I advocated that being expected to reach seven people's homes in a day when I can be driving over an hour at a time to get to them. And then if somebody, you know, can't be seen from this time to this time, and I'm just backtracking, that it wasn't appropriate. And I very, very strongly advocated to myself that, or for myself to everybody, that, you know, if you're hiring people out of this is what you're saying you're going to do, then you should stick with it. And I know that didn't go over very well.
But one of the pieces that's missing for me on a lot of these things is, where is the supervising physical therapist in all of this? Tell me about that conversation, delegation, daily. How was the supervising PT involved in this patient's, from your perspective, non-compliance with?
Well, the initial PT that, or the PT that did the initial evaluation for the patient was only, I believe, still employed with Encompass for a couple weeks after the initial eval. And it's kind of the same idea of making the puzzle pieces fit even with your supervising PTs. If, you know, this PT is no longer here, then they're going to take a PT that didn't do the evaluation and put them in as the supervising PT for the patient. And it's just whoever can see the patient sees the patient as far as the supervising physical therapist goes. So the one who initially did, or who, Jackie, who stepped in after I had seen her, had not, didn't do the eval.
Did you talk to the PT the morning of to offer delegation for this particular patient for you to see this patient for the day?
That was never required.
Did she ever see the patient?
The
your supervising PT?
I think afterwards, yes, but prior to all of this, the patient was under the supervision of the PT that had left Encompass, if that makes sense.
It makes sense. I'm just asking if Miss Jackie, your supervising PT, ever went and saw the patient.
I'm not sure. I don't believe so. I believe that she was under Jason's eval. I can't recall looking at all the notes.
So how did she determine that? I guess I should ask her that. It seems like if she's never seen the patient, how would she know it was appropriate for you to treat him?
We had our staff meetings every week, and we would review the patients and talk about if we were going to change the plan of care or not. And I just did what I was told.
But you realize, as a PTA, you're supposed to have conversations with your supervising PT prior to seeing patients.
Right, and I guess that's where I figured our weekly meetings.
Daily. All right, thank you, ma'am.
Looking at page 31 in our notes, it looks like the PT did see the patient.
All right, thank you.
July 6th, 2018. And then again on page 33, it looks like she saw on July 24th,
okay.
2018.
Thank you, Josh.
And then just a question on August 1st, was Jackie still the supervising PT for the patient, or had it changed?
She had taken up supervision for the patient at the time. So the initial evaluating patient was, or PT that was longer in the office.
At any time, do you have documentation at all of your conversation for delegation for this patient with Jackie and some of your concerns?
No, we would touch, if there were questions that I had about the patient, I could reach out to my supervising PT, and that's, you know, I have done that, saying that I don't think we're making much progress together, can this patient be reassigned to somebody else? And then she still came back on my schedule for the visit of 8-1.
Sorry. Josh, I only see one visit on page 31.
31, yeah, 33.
Oh, 33.
Yeah. The bottom one.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
And then lastly, sorry, sir. Was it your practice to document who the supervising physical therapist was on each of your notes?
Yes.
Additional questions?
I have none, thank you.
Um, Would you like to make a closing statement? We're about to go into deliberation, so this is your last chance.
I know this has got to be just as frustrating for all of you as it is for me, and to advocate for myself further, I would never jeopardize my career by falsely stating that I saw a patient when I did not. There have been multiple patient cancellations that I've had to deal with that, you know, I made it work, and I've never had anybody raise any complaints against me. I've been a PTA for 4 years. Never had any disciplinary action, and I assessed an environment that, you know, I was not comfortable working in, and even at the time when my employment was terminated for this reason, I was already actively seeking other employment, and I was unemployed for less than a week before I started my new position, because I knew that this just was no good, and I didn't want to be part of it.
May I ask one more question? Is it a follow-up?
Yeah.
Did you, I can't think of a good way of asking this. Did you have a personality problem with DOT?
I don't recall.
Did you have any dealings with him, discussions, etc.?
Not that I can recall. I mean, I'm pretty agreeable most of the time, unless, you know, I have to stand up for myself, and even then I'm not a confrontational person, so I don't know what I would have done to upset him.
Okay, thank you.
So to clarify for the board, just to clarify jurisdiction, since there was an error on the first page, we're looking at 32-2044-5, engaging in substandard care by a physical therapist assistant, 32-2044-14, making misleading, deceptive, untrue representations, and 32-2044-20, failing to maintain adequate patient records.
So now we are in deliberation.
Mm-hmm. Can I make a motion to go into executive session to seek legal advice?
Yes, you may.
Second.
All right. So we're going to go into executive session. Oh, yeah, do we have to vote? Just assume.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Castillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
In the executive session at 10:41.
All right, we'll be back.
That's a threat.